If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that. And of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played, and when I look at the flag of the United States, I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about.
One o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. That is Drew Brees' comments that have drawn all kinds of criticism from across the NFL and beyond in the last day. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, has written today about Brees' comments and also about his apology. You read a little bit from this story written by Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. He says in Brees' written apology, he says, quote, "In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country." Florio writes, "In the specific context of the apology, that works. When compared to the original comments, it's a little confusing." And he cites the original comments when Brees says, "I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America." Florio writes, "Did never not mean never? Or does he now, less than a day after reiterating his position first articulated nearly 4 years ago, does he now believe that kneeling during the anthem does not amount to disrespecting the flag? It's an important question that Brees needs to answer in order to fully and fairly process his apology. I
want to stop you there real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
If he does answer that, you know, the time period of 4 years, okay, he's heard the name Kaepernick at the beginning of the question, so he's starting to think, okay, this is about flag protest. And then at the end, it's almost like he didn't even hear the final couple words of the person asking the question. You as a leader in that locker room, of leader of men, what is the message you're going to send, you know, to your locker room, to your teammates? You're going to continue to tell them to divide, or are you going to bring them together? You know, he could have brought it together right there. It's almost like he didn't listen to the whole question. And he started to get on his flag rant.
He reverted back to the thing he had said 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Because that's really how you feel. And Floyd's right in that. We talked about that this morning. That's a quick apology.
You know what I would say is more damning for Drew Brees? Is that he hasn't listened to the people who are upset with him since he said these comments yesterday.
No.
He's not listening still. I think that's what people maybe are going to be most upset with him for. And I think this is what Florio's hitting on. He says, ideally, when he needs to answer that question, he would do so not in a written statement, but in the same format that the original comments were delivered, on camera and speaking extemporaneously, giving teammates, fans, media, and anyone a chance to hear the words study the facial expressions and the demeanor, and ultimately conclude whether he has sufficiently explained how and why he decided to abandon, in less than 24 hours, comments that reflected his clear, unambiguous, and supposedly permanent beliefs on the question of whether kneeling in peaceful protest during the anthem amounts to disrespect of the flag. That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. That's a part of a longer column that you can go check out for yourself. But that's the part of the, is the apology that he has delivered, is it authentic? Is it believable? And I think Florio is right in pointing out, well, what he said, the part that people took issue with was that he said those who have kneeled have been disrespectful. Do you backtrack on those comments or not? Do you still believe they are disrespectful? Have you at all rethought what you believe about that? Because you can be someone who supports the effort of everyone that is protesting right now and can be someone who is supportive of the teammates who are kneeling while not kneeling yourself. That can exist. You can be someone that supports your teammates while saying, that's not what I'm choosing to do, but I respect you and I respect your right to do what you're doing. And I would never tell you that you are being disrespectful. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand for the anthem. It's not an issue of standing for the anthem. That's not what people are taking issue with Drew Brees. So I just hope that people aren't confusing that. That somehow it was a criticism of Drew Brees saying, I stand up for the anthem. I don't think that's what people are upset about.
No. No.
No, people are upset because he somehow made this question about police brutality, about his feelings, about the national anthem and the flag.
That wasn't the question. Right.
And, you know, apologies to Drew and everyone else who shares, you know, his feelings and sentiments about that. Nobody cares. At this time, you know, certain moment in our country, I don't think anybody cares about your feelings about the flag or the anthem or their own feelings about the flag and the anthem. Like, what were you even talking about? I think that was, you know, there's all this kneeling and stuff, but let me tell you about the chills and the, you know, the how I get all choked up when I hear the anthem and the flag. Like, dude, that's...
Tell you what, let Lee Greenwood sing that thing, man.
Yeah.
It takes it to another level.
Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? You know, the guys are out there protesting and marching because they're literally afraid for their friends, like Steven Jackson talking about his friend who, you know, had his neck kneeled on until he was dead. And it's like, wow, this seems to be happening to a disproportionate number of people who look like me. And it seems to be happening over and over again. That this is what, you know, these people want to talk about. This is what they are, they're out there marching for. And if, you know, in a couple of isolated incidents, you're like, yeah, wrong place, wrong time. But it seems to be happening over and over and over again. Drew, what do you think about this now? When guys like Colin Kaepernick said that's what they were kneeling for in the first place. And tons of people disagree with it and thought it was disrespectful. Well, it's all coming back around again. And now the entire city or the entire country has cities that are seeing protests and marches. And some of them are devolving into these predators coming out and these people rioting and stealing and like all this chaos. And what do you think? Well, I think I really love the flag and the national anthem. And I am never, ever going to be okay with somebody dealing. Who asked you about the flag and the anthem? Do you not get what all this is about?
I think eventually you get it. Because the beginning of all this, I disagreed with it with Kaepernick kneeling. You know, and I was a big, well, why don't you stand? Because, you know, you're out there with your teammates. It was more of a, and it's like an ignorant locker room. You're in a closed mind. Then you hear of all this stuff and incidents. And the faction of his locker room that is probably going through an extremely tough time right now and handling this emotionally from an anger standpoint and all that, and you're still away from the team and you got all this pent-up rage. If he doesn't sense that, then he's crazy. He could have just stated that, hey, this is my opinion on the flag. He could have started exactly the way he did. And my grandfather was this and that. But the best thing about that flag, it's red, white, and blue, and there's stars, and people fought for that. And there's other people who think they should kneel. And that's fine, because that's the right. That's what the flag stands for. You know, freedom. Freedom to do that.
And it's just, you've been so conditioned as an athlete. You put the uniform on, we all do this stuff as a team together. That's part of it. That's part of the problem there, part of the root of it. And maybe that's with older players. Bledsoe used to get teared up all the time on the sideline because his grandfather was a fighter pilot. And it's like certain guys take that anthem, and, man, they put it on them. They put it on them. Like, I've changed over the years hearing this. You change. He will change. You know, just when. I just don't think in 12 hours you change like that. And I even go back to, like, okay, what was the big racial incidents? Yeah, I'm trying to put myself in as a player, because sometimes when you're a player and you live in a vacuum, live in a bubble, and he's got to live in a bubble more so than anybody, but he's also got to know better, because everybody's going to hear what you say, because you're Drew freaking Brees. And when Drew Brees talks, people listen. Same thing with Tom Brady. You know, there's a lot of clicks on those. I remember watching with teammates, black and white. We're sitting there, black and white teammates, watching the O.J. trial come down. We used to have trial watch parties. I can't believe this happened to O.J. And then, man, what transpired after that, the Rodney King stuff, all that. And I think it's, you know, over the years, this is really built to, you know, it's volcanic, man. It's exploding. And people have had enough, and I don't blame people for having enough.
I just, it's not about him changing his mind and changing how he feels about
understanding
that.
People,
understanding what the issue is,
right?
And yes, understanding what other people's issues are. I mean, going back to the analogy, it's like you're all guys on one team, right? But in this moment, you're being asked to forget about team for a moment and forget about football for a moment. And for this moment, we're going to make it about the country. We're going to make it about the anthem. We're going to make it about the flag, right? That's what the national anthem and standing and saluting the flag and doing that is at the beginning of a football team. It's like, not right now, we're all Americans, okay? Right. And in that moment, does Drew Brees understand that his America is different than the America of other guys on his team? Because at that moment, they're not just all New Orleans Saints. Now we're all supposed to be Americans. And you can be all fired up and absolutely laser focused on that one goal that you have as a football team to win that game and to win the next one and to win the championship. But when you take that 2 minutes at the beginning of the game and make it about something else, other guys are going to have different focus than you do. And are you willing to accept what they're thinking and what they're going through and what their family members and what how they feel about that and accept it into your belief system just long enough to not even agree with them necessarily, but at least allow for them to have a different experience than what you've had. And it's not even to say that Drew Brees has had an easy go of it of his entire life. But that is the fundamental difference between people who are steadfast against it and other people who are saying, hey, all we're trying to do is make it known that, you know, we're not okay with all this. Yeah, you know, everything is not hunky-dory. You know, everything is not okay in our. We may be living under the same roof, but your experience is a lot different than mine. And I hear it all the time from my friends and my family and my community that things are not okay. And is Drew Brees willing to change enough at least to accept that now I understand that things are not okay everywhere just because they're fine with me?
Right.
But when I see that flag and hear that anthem, all I think is, thumbs up 100% all the time. There's a lot of people on your team who do not feel that way. And that's where the change has to come in. Not how he feels about it. You feel however you want, of course. Do you understand that other guys have a much different feeling than you?
That's the biggest thing here is people don't want to wait. You want to change the way people think. You want people to be aware of it and just respect it. I think that's step one.
So do you think there are people that have changed their mind on Colin Kaepernick's kneeling?
I think there are some, and I was just thinking this too. I wonder if it was a bigger name than Kaepernick that started all this and how this all would have went. You know, because I think it was the beginning of where Cap started to not play well as a player, and then people like, oh, that's all you're focusing on. That's all I remember of the rhetoric that was coming out regarding that. If it was just, you know, just maybe a more polished superstar, I don't know, like a Russell Wilson would start this.
I don't, Beetle. This is the type of issue where people don't change their minds, right?
Right.
I get
typically
the feeling,
yes, they don't change their minds, but I do wonder if there are people that have changed their minds in the last week.
Yep. I wonder
about this
that
very
too.
Topic. We'll talk about that and get to your calls coming up next.
got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So he just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before the break, we're asking the question, have people changed their mind about Colin Kaepernick at all? Have some people at least moved on the topic? And as Hardy said, it's not a topic people typically change their mind on. But I do wonder if anyone has had a change of heart on the issue. And I wonder if the league, you know, Colin Kaepernick is now 32 years old. I wonder if anyone in the league is going to take a shot on him.
I mean,
now versus a year ago.
Again, the number one thing, and I watched his workout last year, his little private workout that he did at a high school field outside of Atlanta. I mean, it looks like anybody can drop back and throw the ball. I mean, there wasn't anything from that workout that blew me away that said, wow, got to go out and sign this guy. Because he does come, that stuff follows him. Whether you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. You know, I mean, there was the one time he wore the socks that people are still killing him for. Or, you know, some of his takes and who he's dating, or his girlfriend or fiance, or if it's his wife now, I don't even know if they're married. How good is he? You know, what's there talent-wise?
Okay, but that should always be the question.
Exactly, and I think that's what it should be. Right. But that's like part of the Tebow thing, too. When we've sorry, my thing's here.
That's how I want Colin Kaepernick to be looked at. Simply on that. How good is he? Can the guy play or not?
I mean, I would think he'd be good enough to be at least a top three guy on a roster.
Well, at the beginning of this,
he really wanted to compete for a starting job, too.
I mean, at the beginning, I thought that Colin Kaepernick not being in the league was... I didn't think it was going to last. I didn't think that was going to last. I thought in the beginning, it's because he had sucked the year before. And combined with him sort of being... considered a controversial figure at the time, that people were going to stay away, but eventually he'd make his way back. He's not so bad that he can't have a job, and it stuck, man. And then I think it became clear in time that if you didn't believe it in the beginning that he was being kicked out of the league, you believe it by the end, that years later, unable to get a job in the league, that simply was not just about the way he had played in his final year, which was not good. He was not a good quarterback at the end of his time in San Francisco. It was really bad. And if you watched any of those games, you saw that it was bad. And he was on a bad team, granted. But it was not – he had not really progressed as a quarterback. And that may have been some of the coaching, that may have been the offense, but it was a bad year. He didn't deserve to be a starter anymore. But he definitely deserved to have a job at some point, and he hasn't gotten one since.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you're sitting there and if there really was this blackballing in the league to keep him out, you're scratching your head on it today. You know, like, why do we do this? I think it was part of it. I mean, because, you know, it's like that Tebow factor. You bring a lot of the stuff to the table with you. You know, and then, okay, is it worth it to have him on your team?
There's also someone had written a story, as you see on the screen. Not that we had mentioned this at all, but there's a former NFL spokesperson, I forget his name, who spoke the other day that said the Vikings should sign Kaepernick, that this was the time, you know, being in Minneapolis as some sort of symbolic gesture. I don't think that's the right call either.
No. No, and then you put him in a bad spot. Yeah.
Sign him if you need a quarterback, please. Go for it. If you need a backup or you need someone on your roster or there's a spot for him somewhere in this league, but please don't do it because it's symbolic. Do it because you realize maybe you as a league, well, that was dumb. We shouldn't have done that. And we take a look and we need a guy and he can fill a role here.
You know what? The athletic quarterback, as far as, you know, that Cap's got great legs. That was his greatest strength, man. one of his best games I ever saw him play was against Green Bay out in San Francisco. I don't know if it was a playoff game or a regular season game, but he blew their doors off. And the way Lamar Jackson played last year, I wonder if that opens coaches or GM's eyes up a little more. Like, okay, we take another peek here, Cap. If we could implement parts of our offense the way he attacks and the way Lamar would run and make people miss. He can't. Cap didn't make people miss. He ran away from people. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? He wasn't like overly quick or fast in a tight space. But boom, once he went.
Yeah.
Jackson will break your ankles. He'll shake you out of your shoes. You know, Cap's not that type of player. But there could be a spot for him somewhere. There could.
Let's get to some calls. What do you say?
Okay.
Jeff in Hanover. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Jeff.
Good, Jeff.
Hey, I'm going to be careful the way I word this because it was one sentence that really got Drew Brees into trouble. But, Beetle, you were asking about if people are changing their mind on it. I think they are. I'm one of those. Just a quick backstory. My parents came from another country, and they did not have the opportunities in their old country that they have here. So as a child, watching Zell play for McPherson as a kid at the old Foxborough Stadium and the Rez games, it was always, you stand for that anthem. But I was a kid, and that's kind of how I was brought up. And when it first happened 3 or 4 years ago, I was one of those guys who, like, well, I support the cause, absolutely. But this just feels so much different that I was uncomfortable with it. And as I've learned more and seen more, I'm like, you know what? How foolish was I to think that way a few years ago? They have absolutely every right to kneel. So I'm probably one of those who have changed their mind because I've grown, I've learned, I've heard different opinions. And I think the problem is
matured. Yeah, you grow up as a person.
But it is one of those rare cases where in something like this, it's like, no one's going to ever change their mind about this. I think the last couple of weeks, people are at least thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about, well, I guess with all the other stuff going on, is it really the worst thing in the world? I don't like it. And personally, I understand what he's saying. I understand the same way. It would feel very odd for me, as I'm sure it would for you, Zoe, based on what you've said in the past, Beetle. I'll include you in this, too, to be in a situation where most people are standing, but you would kneel for the anthem, right? Without that, without any cause that I'm actively working for, it would almost be hypocritical. It's like, hey, watch this. I'm going to kneel down now while the anthem is playing to show my support for this. When really, when you go home, you're not doing anything to further the cause. You know,
no.
I'm not out there protesting. I'm not doing anything beyond
making people talk about it.
Yeah. So it would, you know, for me, I think it would be kind of a hollow gesture, but I always understood the other people who were doing it, even if I couldn't see myself doing it. And I think at the very least, people are now willing to say, well, I understand why they're doing it now. Even if they don't support it, even if they still look on it as wrong or disrespectful, and yeah. Even if they themselves don't want to do it, it seems like people, and we just talked to a guy. He's like, okay, at least I understand it now. Because it was kind of, as callous as this sounds, without like immediately on the heels of you know, one of these incidents of police brutality taking place, it kind of seemed like a gesture that Colin Kaepernick was doing that was in the abstract. And quite frankly, he did himself or the cause no favors by wearing the police pig socks either.
Yeah.
Like that's...
See, people that, keep throwing it out too. I mean,
well, it's, people,
just, okay,
it's like you forget about right. The other stuff. It's like, oh, but wait a second. That wasn't the only thing, right? And look, it's messy. It's not a comfortable conversation.
No, it's not a clean sign and go.
It's not a comfortable protest. It makes people uncomfortable. And I think that was, you know, part of his agenda, for lack of a better word, was to make people uncomfortable with it. That was part of it too. I mean, is a protest as effective if everyone's comfortable with it? So, I mean, this is why it's a messy, messy issue. But
there's so many different ways
to
handle this.
It's got people talking about it now.
And get people to talk about it. Like, even having, both Bennett brothers here in different contrasting styles and times. You had Martellus, and then you had Michael. And Michael will handle things a certain way he wants to handle things, where Martellus will do it through his books. Like, he wrote that book, Hey Black Boy. And he's trying to bring this to kids, and there's so many ways to do it, and I think it's great. I think it's great to go through that. And it's just, you know, it just sucks that there's so much division. It does, because I think there's so many people on two different extreme ends of this. There's no way you can't meet in the middle. You should be able to. I think people have changed this past week. I guarantee you they have. You sit there enough and you look around, like, every city this is going on, every town. You just can't turn your back on it anymore. People have changed. I guarantee you they've changed in a week. It's hard to think they changed in 24 hours. You know, like the Brees statement. The Brees statement should have been, his apology should have been a statement.
Yeah, you know,
I'm a leader of men in our locker room. I'm a quarterback. Everybody looks up to me. Everybody looks at me for, you know, go back and look at some of the Drew Brees stuff, going back to Purdue, and giving his speeches before games, pep talks. Like, it's a lot of that's predetermined. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to have your thoughts in line. And he got caught off guard yesterday. Or else he didn't care.
Well, I mean, he's been remarkably consistent, though, in his opinion on this.
For 4 years, yes. Matt Light's the same way. Yeah. I remember Matt Light talking about it. He felt awful as a Patriot that day when I think 16 or 17 Patriots took a knee.
While the crowd booed the Patriots who did take a knee.
Yeah.
In Foxborough. We've got headlines here. We've got one more segment to get to your calls. We'll have today's takeaways coming up at 1:50.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones. Tyron in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you again. Man.
Let's go Vols. Let's go Vols. We got Vols. Yes,
this is one of our other Southern State callers.
Yes, sir, man.
That's right.
I tell you, man. It's a sad time going on in our world, but I believe we're all going to rally around and change is coming. I really believe that. But I want to come at this from the football angle to this, because I sit back and watch the NFC the last month and a half kind of turn into the AFC East. I mean, you look at what went on in San Fran. They leaked out about what went on with them having interested in Brady. They don't believe in Garoppolo. So, and you know and I know, more times when you lose a Super Bowl, there's legitimacy to a Super Bowl hangover. Look at Green Bay trading up to get Love instead of surround Rodgers with the proper weapons. And now, I'm sorry, Drew Brees, there is no walking that back. I think that locker room is damaged. I think the chemistry is damaged.
I don't think so.
And I think Tom Brady, they have not even played a down yet. And I think Tom Brady won the NFC South yesterday.
Hey.
I think he's going to be the one seed. And I think, silly me, he's two games away
First, whoa.
That's a great take.
I can't believe Louth didn't have that take.
No kidding. Why didn't Louth? You know what? Louth will steal it and put it in tomorrow's thing so he gets credit on NBC
Sports Boston.
That is
a Jim Louth take if there ever was one.
Brady just won the division. There it is.
Hey.
Handed to him on a silver platter.
Oh,
thanks,
God.
Breeze.
Wow. I think there's too much pride in players to where Drew Brees is going to lose the locker room. He's a leader of that locker room. Can you get angry with a friend and a teammate? Yes, you can do that. Can a friend and a teammate show you through actions and not words that, hey, I could change, I can be more aware of this, and I'm sorry for that, and step up? The guy's already stepped up in his community. He's crushed it down there in New Orleans for people.
Let me ask you.
But
this,
I don't think he's going to lose his locker
room. When his teammates kneel, to go back
I'm
to what Florio said,
keep
when his teammates
shut.
Take a knee, is he going to say, you're disrespecting the flag?
No.
Is he going to tell his teammates that?
No, can't.
What if his teammate asks him?
That's where he changes. That's where I was wrong. He could tell him, he could look that teammate in the face, right in the eye, and say, I was wrong. And it's up to that teammate to allow allow him to repair that discord between the two, if there is one that exists down there.
I didn't notice this last night, but T-Bone had this exact take, 5:35 p.m. on our text chain. So Brady's path to the Super Bowl just got easier with all of Brees' weapons abandoning him, to which Scott Zolak replied, LOL, Dermo's favorite reply to anyone's text. And then, no, they love Breeze. So this
Michael Thomas isn't loving Drew Breeze right now.
Drew Breeze feeds him the rock. I think Michael Thomas, I think he's gonna look at Michael and say, did you ever screw up in your life? You ever say something you regretted and maybe you didn't realize at the time? Well, I did that. Now I do realize it based on the reaction. I did not expect that reaction from what I said. And I'm sorry if I offended you. You're my teammate. You're my brother. I love you, man. I feed you the rock all day long. You know, we need you. I need you. You need me. We're here as a team. Not everybody on the team is going to agree on everything.
And then what if he gets a response like an Ed Reed-like response?
GFO?
Like, if Ed Reed's on your team, do you think that's going to win him over?
Ed Reed's not on his team, so you have to worry about that.
With Ed Reed's attitude.
But where's Ray Ray on this? What would Ray Ray say, you know? Ray Ray's the leader of men. He's always got something to say, you know? But he's talked about staying together, sticking together. I think you stick together as a team. That's what you do. People screw up all the time. You screw up, and you apologize for when you're sorry. It's up to you as a person if you want to forgive them. But Drew's got work to do, so.
Lionel is in Methuen today. Lionel.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, Lionel? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So I have a problem with the whole aftermath of Drew Brees' apology. I've been seeing all the comments of people saying that his apology is fake and phony and all that. I'm like, well, how do you know what's in that man's heart? How do you know that he's not really striving to change his perspective? How do you know that that Drew really is trying his best to connect with the black people? Because we all know he has a lot of teammates that are black, and I'm sure he has a lot of friends that are African-American.
Yeah, yeah.
So for people to sit there and say that, oh, it's fake, it's contrived, it's just disingenuous, especially considering the fact that he's been a model citizen for a long time in this league. He's donated so much of his
time. Read up on him and what he's done down there and how he saved that city, but helped save that city.
Here's the thing. It's not just coming from the people who are upset with Breeze. I got a couple of emails today from a guy named Shane, and I wrote back to him, and he was really upset with me and some of the stuff we were saying. So I asked him, I said, okay, well, all name-calling aside, that's fine. You can call me whatever you want. But I said, do you think Breeze in his apology today is lying, right? And again, he's upset with us. He thinks that Drew Brees did nothing wrong, is nothing to apologize for. And he wrote back, he said, yes, I think Drew is lying. I think what he said, he believes, and the left pressured and pushed him to have to put an apology out there as a brand. I personally do not think he needed to. So, yeah, but yeah. There are going to be people who don't either, A, accept his apology, and then people on the other side who thinks he did nothing wrong and said, he doesn't mean it. That apology is BS. It's on both sides.
It's almost like you can't win. You do one or the other, right?
Right.
Hey, I stand by what I said. I mean, I didn't mean to offend people. I did not mean to do that. For whatever reason, the first part of that question took me right to that. If he doesn't apologize, he's going to get crushed. You knew he was going to apologize based on the stuff that shook down last night.
Based on the reaction.
And this is part of the PR job of the team, too.
What you say initially and what you say on camera is going to carry more weight than a written statement that you put out during massive backlash.
But you have to do it.
So, to Lionel's point,
I bet he was hurt last night by the FU Breeze.
Lionel might be right, and he might be someone who is someone who will be proactive and may have been proactive even without this story blowing up in helping people in this cause and in this fight. But his statement that he made on camera is always going to be more meaningful to people because of all those reasons we talked about, because you see someone's how definitive they are in what they're saying, and you see their facial expressions, and you see sort of the emotion and the passion of it.
Yeah.
That, you put out a written statement now in the digital age. The hell is this? You know what I mean? How about all the players that responded to Drew Brees? How did they do it? Did they do it with written statements?
Nope.
Some did it with tweets, so that's sort of like that. How many videos were put out on Instagram, on Twitter?
A lot.
On everything last night?
A lot.
If you really want to make that apology stick, you go back on camera. That would be my first word of advice. And everyone has that ability. So that's that's something I would say back in response to that. You know, why is it being looked upon as not genuine? Well, first thing is, I'm not sure he went all the way with it.
And I know you talked about the part of it, say things aren't going well there and he could retire at the end of the year potentially. This could also go the other way for him too, where you take something like this, it's actually going to make him closer with a lot of his teammates. Because now I got to be aware of, I totally royally screwed up the pulse of this room. You know, and I think if they're throwing mini camps tonight, he's hearing everybody talk about this. And there's no way I don't think he would answer that if they weren't functioning under a normal, you know, yearly calendar the way they should be.
You know,
I'm not making excuses for him. You know,
we talked about the tragic events of the last week may have changed some people's minds. Maybe that wasn't what changed Drew Brees' mind, but maybe the backlash in hearing from people that he actually does play with and care about, their response to him, maybe that gets his attention. Maybe he does start to reconsider things.
And I think you end up hearing those videos overnight, like you know, of all these players lashing out against him, his own teammates posting stuff. His coach a couple days earlier posted. I mean, he should have been more aware of that. He should have.
We've got today's takeaways coming up next, and we've got a song that was mentioned earlier in the show that I didn't realize had lyrics, but it does. We're going to hear that song with its lyrics, Hardy.
I just asked T-Bone,
I said, is it as depressing as I assume it will be? So he said, pretty much, yeah. We'll get to it next.
All right.
They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, it is that time. Time for today's takeaways brought to my good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Dropped weight the very first week up to 8 pounds, 8 pounds or more. Can't beat that. Summer is here, baby. Drop it. We'll virtually coach you up right there through your computer. Check out all the details. 6 local locations at awaken180weightloss.com. Okay, so what kind of song we have you guys are talking about?
So this is the theme song from MASH.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. First, this from today's show.
Yeah.
It's fair for everybody, right? I mean, oh, hello.
Nope.
Nope.
Hello.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Yes.
Nope.
No what?
Nothing. That was not supposed to happen. I gotta play. Hearing that back, I gotta play that off. We have a pond in the front yard. Pond be good for you. Pool in the front yard. A pond in the front yard. It has big bullfrogs, and they're out there every night. You hear them. That sounds like a frog.
Yeah,
I gotta play that off as a frog in the front yard.
Wow.
Despite the fact that you're on camera right now, yes, you could have played it off by saying you moved out
now
to,
being a dick. Yeah.
To the pond, and that was a bullfrog we just heard.
Yes, if I was doing a show for the gazebo, yes.
Good luck with that defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck. Zoe, we had a clip
today.
I owned it.
You said no.
I said no to him.
It was an immediate denial.
It was like saying to my dog,
the opposite
no.
of owning it.
Put it down. No, don't eat that.
This Dayton show history featured this clip.
You understand why people, I'd never kill myself because that hurt. We're bringing you pain today.
I'd never kill myself because that hurt.
There were probably thoughts of that, like a 2:15 probably plus in the morning that day. Rain, it just locks. And I don't know what it is. The rain just makes everybody hit the brakes. I know you got to be more careful, right?
But. So I said to Hardy, I said, isn't there a song, isn't the MASH theme, Suicide is Painless? Isn't that what they call that song? And you informed us that that song has lyrics.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard it. It's just one of those things I read somewhere at some point that it's a song, and they play the instrumental version for the MASH theme.
Yeah. So what are the lyrics?
Let's hear it.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless.
Oh, damn.
It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please.
Jesus. So they said that they played Mitch Miller to drive the Branch Davidian, the Davidians.
Wait,
out of the,
wait, I right? just read the next like paragraph of lyrics. Do you still have it there, T-Bone? Or do we cut it off there?
The game of life is hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say.
Oh my, that is a depressing track.
I'm not a big fan of that song.
Holy crap.
Okay, so do you want to know the quick backstory on the song?
Sure.
MASH was a movie, which I never saw. A Robert Altman movie. His movies tend to be a little weird.
Okay.
He wanted a song in the movie called Suicide is Painless, and he wanted it to be the stupidest song ever written.
Well, you
and
did
Robert Altman tried to write the lyrics himself, but he couldn't do it. So he said to his 14-year-old son, Michael, write the lyrics in 5 minutes. He did. The song worked, and they ended up using it in the movie and then the instrumental for the TV show.
Well, then, a 14-year-old wrote that song?
Fortown's got some problems.
Because
man.
Is he okay? He said,
I'd be checking in on him every night.
Like, but whatever scene in the movie, he said, I want a really dumb song here, and it's got to be called Suicide is Painless. It's got to be really stupid. And he tried to write it. He's like, no, this isn't dumb enough. So he went to his half-wit 14-year-old son and said, write me a song in 5 minutes. And
he'd be
did.
A bike clown. Yeah.
What year was that? Early 70s? I guess somewhere in there.
69 it was recorded.
Okay.
Released in 1970.
I don't know what the field of child psychology looked like in 1969, but get Jesus. That kid some help. Oh, man. What a downer.
Robert Altman said that he only made $70,000 for directing the movie, but his son had earned more than $1 million in songwriting credits.
Oh, that is badass. Well, good for him.
Yeah, good.
I'm just going to say that song brought me down a little bit.
Why don't you go spread some of that alleged 25 yards of mulch?
Why don't you bring me down a little bit
every
more?
Year we argue with Zoe over how many yards of mulch
I said in the
got.
Back room today, I'm not going to have the argument today. It's too dumb. I can't argue against something that
there's. Do you want to call it South Shore Landscape?
I know what they told you, but I just refuse to believe that they brought it an entire 18-wheeler like
okay,
tractor trailer full of mulch and dumped it in your driveway.
It was three axles
yeah,
on the truck.
25 yards. Yeah, I just no. I'm sorry. Do not believe.
You. So what do you do with all the old mulch? What do you do with the old mulch that every year when you do this?
I put it on top. I do a light dusting on top. Yes. Now heavier in some areas.
So 25 yards only gives you a light dusting.
25 yards. I also buy more. Yeah.
What?
I 25 yards doesn't even cover. For me, I still need to get more in spots. Somehow I always screw it up. It's somewhere for like really around 27, 27 and a half. I need, but
yeah, but then you need a second truck, a second dump truck.
Yeah, it's black Cape Cod mulch. It's not rocket science here. Cover the weeds, baby. Cover the weeds.
Alrighty. All right,
that's
very good.
Strychnine. Jesus.
So enjoy your mulch.
Yeah.
Get after.
Hey, Hardy, that hot tub, is that thing hot? I got like a hip problem. After mulching, maybe I'll come over, sit in your hot tub.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.